Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. I am Aisling Keenan, your host. And just before we start, I want to talk about links that I'll be putting in the show notes. I hear people saying that on podcasts all the time, that they're like, I'm going to put links in the show notes. And I'm like, I want to do that. So I'm going to put some links in the show notes. They're not going to be relevant to what I'm talking about. They're going to be links to probably videos of Beyonce on YouTube. But I just wanted to do it because it sounds super profesh. Another thing is, does anyone ever get, you know, when you get, like, say you post a picture or something. No, this probably doesn't happen to everybody, but you get 100 nice comments, like, or 100 compliments, or, you know, you're wearing an outfit and you get 100 nice things said to you by your pals. And then one person says a negative thing. And it's like in the movies where, like, the big dramatic zoom in on that one comment or that one negative thing. That happened to me the other day. So I was reading my own reviews on iTunes, because that's what I do, and I spotted a negative review, and I was like, you know, there's so many, like, thank you, because there's so many amazing reviews on iTunes, and there was that one, and I literally was like, it's all I could see, and the room started spinning, and I was like, why doesn't that person like the podcast? And it made me so upset. And then I said it to one of my friends, and she was like, yeah, you're being a stupid bitch. Look at all the positive ones. So she made me sit there and scroll through all of the positive ones and read them all. And they made me feel so much better. So if I just want to say thanks very much if you've ever left a nice review for the podcast, because it really means the world. Because, you know, when you're a creative person or whatever, and you make something, all you want is for people to like it. So that means the world. Anyway, my guest today is the owner of the best pair of brows I have ever seen. And she's a blogger and influencer as well. Niamh O'Sullivan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so jealous of your eyebrows. Every time I see you, they're not even filled in. Like,
well, they're a little bit filled in because I plucked, like, the life out of them when I was a kid.
I'm sure you didn't.
I got them. Oh, no, I did. They started, like, mid-pupil on the way out. So I looked wild. I got them from my dad, though. Okay. So, yeah, shout out.
The only thing I got from my dad is his jawline, which on a woman is not what you want to get from your dad.
I know, such a, like, square jaw as well. I got that from my dad as well.
No, that's yours is beautiful. Don't worry about it. So, yeah, you're a blogger and influencer. Where can people follow you if they don't already, which I'm sure they do?
So my Instagram is Niamh_O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. My website is Niamh-O'Sullivan.com. Okay. And yeah, that's where I mainly hang out.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So what Niamh and I are going to do today. So Niamh, I'm so excited to say Niamh listens to the podcast and is a fan.
I'm the biggest fan. I've listened to every single episode because I only found the podcast when you were probably like 6 episodes deep.
Okay.
And I went back and I binged, and then every Friday at like 5 o'clock, I'm like, where is it? Or like, if it's there, I'm like, yes, it's amazing.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. I'm so glad. And we were on a press trip recently, and we got chatting, and Niamh was like, will I come on the podcast? And I was like, yes.
Have me, please.
So what Niamh fancied talking about was she wants to be a bit of an agony aunt for the day. And yeah. I'm going to be agony Ash. What are you going to be?
Don't put Niamh, me in the spotlight.
Niamh knows all. So, okay, we have a few questions here that have come in. They've come in either to the Private Education Instagram, which is at Private Education Podcast, if you want to follow, or they've come in on your Instagram, Niamh.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we put a question box up. So we're going to start with this, and we're going to keep them all anonymous, as always, because we don't want anyone feeling embarrassed or feeling like
imagine
they can't.
Naming.
Yeah, this girl called
this
Mary
from.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to read the first query, and then we'll just launch in.
Chat.
And whatever our thoughts are, we'll share and try and
lot.
Help. She's a lot. Okay, so the first question is, so she says, so I've been seeing, for context, this is a woman. So I've been seeing this guy for 4 months now. Things have been going really good, but now I'm starting to get a little impatient that he hasn't asked me to be his girlfriend. And I know it works both ways. We are exclusive and see each other 2 to 3 times a week. So nothing would change if we were to make it official. I think what's making me so anxious is the constant, is it official yet? Questions I get in work and from friends. I also had a colleague refer to him as my fuck buddy, which got to me a bit. I'm not sure how to bring it up, but I'm also reluctant to, as I don't want to put pressure on it either. One of my friends has told me 4 months is nothing, so not to worry. Am I just overthinking it all? I'd love to hear your feedback if you have time. So we're going to give feedback.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts.
When I saw this, when this came in initially, I was like, I straight away was like, when you, her friend that says 4 months is nothing, don't worry.
I would be up the walls over that. Yeah, so 4 months is...
4 months, twice, three times a week. That's a lot of,
yeah, that's
a lot,
like,
of time.
A really long time.
That's a time investment, like.
Yeah, and also I have a real issue with the colleague just...
saying, calling a fuck buddy. Yeah,
I think, mind your own business.
I mean, that's an insensitive colleague.
That's not, really rude.
You know, when she says colleague, she definitely doesn't say friend.
Yeah.
Because a friend wouldn't say that.
No way. Okay, I'm just going to launch it.
Okay, go on.
So, my question is, if they're exclusive, as she says, obviously they've had some sort of a conversation.
Mm.
So, the whole, like, wanting to ask, is it official yet? Mm. That makes me be like, okay, we've obviously had some sort of conversation. Like, maybe... I feel like if it's at a point where she's itching to talk about it, she probably should just bring it up and like not be like, will you be my boyfriend, if that's what she really wants. But it's obviously important for her to have a label on it if she's even thinking like this. So,
but I would also ask, like, if you're seeing someone exclusively for 4 months,
like, are you already boyfriend and girlfriend?
The problem could be,
that's such a grey area, isn't it?
It is, but like, maybe he just thinks they are.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'd love to know how long they're exclusive for. Although that doesn't really matter, I suppose. If they're exclusive, that means they're not seeing other people. I would consider, you know, if I went exclusive with someone, I would consider them my boyfriend or girlfriend.
Another thing, though. Sorry, let me.
We're reading points. There's
really
a lot to unpack here, in fairness.
Oh, yeah. So I was also thinking, if he's the type of person that she feels like she's going to scare away, and like, maybe she's just being paranoid, like, maybe he'll be like, of course you're my girlfriend, like, whatever. If he's the type of person that would be put off by a question of a label.
That's a big issue too.
That's a really big issue.
Totally.
And do you know what I mean?
That's something that, like, I'd hear a good bit from people who message in.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that they're asking to be exclusive or they're asking to be boyfriend or girlfriend, but they're nervous to ask their partner a question, whether that's about their sex life, whether that's about, you know, being long distance and asking them when they're coming home, or whether that is saying...
It's totally down to confidence, isn't it?
But I also think, like, you know, in a relationship, in any relationship, like, I always say communication is so key, and so is honesty.
Is king, yeah.
And, like, if you're not communicating, or if you, like, legitimately feel that you can't bring something up with someone you've been seeing for 4 months... for fear of them being like, get away, I don't want this, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, and I also think that if you feel like that, you obviously feel a certain way in your relationship. I think if you did get to a point where communication was so open and was so kind of fluid between the two of you, it would take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Because you'd feel so comfortable. Yeah. You'd feel so, like, much closer to them.
That's so true. That's so true. Because having a conversation like that implies, you know, commitment, and it shows.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
excited for her. I kind of want her to ask.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you ever follow up with them? Like, how did you get on?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. And actually,
keep me posted on this one, because I really want to know.
They sometimes, like, the person will go off and do the thing or whatever it is, and then come back and message me and tell me how it went. And generally,
brilliant.
It goes well. So I hope she takes some confidence from that, you know.
Yeah, I think as well, it's really hard when she said, I know it works both ways, in like reference to him asking her to be his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I totally get that, and I know it's 2019, but I definitely don't think that I would be able to be like, will you be my boyfriend?
Yeah, no, I get
I'd
that.
Love to be able to be like that, but I just know that. If it came down to it, I'd be like, no.
But I don't think, like, okay, I think having the conversation is one thing. Sitting them down and being like, hi, hello, Peter, will you be my boyfriend? I don't think that's the way she should approach. I don't think that's the way anybody should approach you, for the record. I think that could be a bit awkward. But what I think she should probably do is, I mean, the next time they're on a date, the next time they've been together
seeing
each other 4 years. Oh my God, you've an idea.
Yeah.
Just tell me. I'll
this
go back to my
groundbreaking. Sorry, I keep putting you off.
No,
I hate when people cut people off. And I'm
happy
paranoid.
To be cut off for groundbreaking ideas. Go
it's
ahead.
So groundbreaking. What she needs to say is, this is going to be the biggest fail ever. Are we still exclusive?
Okay.
That could be a nice segue in.
What if he just goes, yeah.
And then she could be like, okay, well, like,
would you
consider me your girlfriend? Like, would you refer to me as your girlfriend?
I feel like that I feel like that approach, the word, I think the word girlfriend,
would you,
doesn't necessarily have to come into it.
Maybe
right?
A couple?
Yeah, like I think, or what she could do is she could use the old, my friend was asking me, like, you know what I mean?
So
you know,
obvious.
Or my, somebody in work, or even, you know, so, oh my God, gas, somebody in work today said, why don't you bring your boyfriend to the next Christmas party?
Yeah, and I had to be like, no.
And see, and just see, yeah. Gauge his reaction.
Yeah.
So if he flings himself off the bed and like starts, you know,
runs out the door,
frantically grabbing all his stuff, then you know he's probably not there yet.
Yeah, give him another week.
If he's like, well, yeah, maybe I will go to your Christmas party. And maybe I will, you know what I mean? Like, all you need to do is literally kick the gate open gently. And
yeah.
And I mean, kick it open gently. That's a bit of a misnomer.
Give it a toe tap.
Give the gate a toe tap and let him let him do the rest of the, you know what I mean? Like, let him come to you on it. Like, so I think,
set him up for success.
Totally. Set him up for success. And the thing that, again, I should ring a bell every time there's a sweeping generalization, but something that women tend to be very good at is manipulating situations and making people think that their idea, or the idea that they've had, they came to that conclusion all by themselves.
So let's use that to our advantage in this situation.
Exactly.
So I love that.
You know, you could say something like, next time you're on a date, or next time you're going for a walk, or whatever it is. And after 4 months, I presume there's been a ride, I would guess. So you're probably, you know, next
time. Two or three
times
a week, I would
suppose. Yeah, you'd hope. yeah, next time you're having a bit of pillow talk or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, you could, you know, you can just be completely honest and be like, here, come here. Are we like, what is this? What are we doing here?
Just be totally honest about it. Because you're setting yourself up then for like, hopefully a relationship full of honesty. But you could be like, look, this has been kind of at me. Or That's obviously harder.
It's fair to say it's been on your mind. Just be like, look, I've been thinking about it lately. We've been seeing each other for 4 months. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's and mad that we've been seeing each other for so long.
Each other ages. Like,
yeah.
And then, yeah, like, the, and bottom line for me now, okay, coming at this from, I'm nearly 32. You're younger than me, right? You're much younger than me.
Yeah, not much younger. I'm 27. I'm 28 in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
This day 2 weeks.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just feel like, I don't know what happened when I turned 30. I'm presuming it'll happen to you. I literally woke up one day and I was like, oh, I don't give a fuck anymore. So from my perspective, what I would do in this girl's situation is I would just, next time I saw him, rock right up and sit in front of him and say, what are we doing here? Is this, are we official? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend?
I do like the pillow talk idea though.
Yeah, that's a bit more gentle.
Do you know what I would also say is, not to be totally psychotic about it, but go in with maybe like a little script prepared.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah,
if he says this, well, then I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
And kind of just be prepared, because then you'll just be a lot more relaxed and confident about it.
Have what you want to say in your head already.
Yeah.
And also, you know, what you said already, if the reaction is bad, if the reaction is
then
what you
that's a great blessing sign. Blessing in disguise.
Yeah, totally. And I know that's not the easiest thing to hear, but if the reaction is like he starts sweating and tugging at his collar.
He starts crying.
Yeah, you're probably not, you know, like, that's probably not going to be the way things go. So I'm hoping now that we've answered that one kind of somewhat well.
And good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know. Let Neve and I know
how
you get on.
Know.
Message us and tell us. I'm at Aisling M. Keenan and you're at Neve_O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. So let us know.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one we're going to do is, it came in via Neve's, she put up a question box on her Instagram. And it went, so I have the initial bit of the question here and then you have the DM.
Yeah, because I then went to be like,
continued. The conversation continued into the DM. So, and the question, the initial part of the question goes over three question boxes. So it starts off, I broke up with my ex like a year and a half ago. Still see him, but he's in a new relish. And I love, shout out to Holly Shortall, because the word relish has gotten into the English language. It'll be in the OED next. So broke up with my ex a year and a half ago. Still see him, but he's in a new relationship with the girl he cheated on me with. There's still a lot of love between us, but I don't think I can move on, even with all the hurt he caused. And then she says, at the end of the message.
And then it went on.
You can take it from here, Niamh.
Yeah, so then I was like, oh my God. you poor thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then she said, the thing is, when we see each other, we act like a couple. We go for dinner, walks. I've gotten over the hurt part, but I'm still afraid of cutting all ties and kind of feel like I failed at the relation again. Dramatic, I know, but isn't love just a series of dramatic moments? So.
Okay, that last statement is a powerful one.
That's really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have to say, love should not be a series of negative dramatic moments.
It shouldn't be hurtful.
No.
And even if you feel like you're over the hurt part, I don't think, I feel like maybe she's saying that, but I don't know if she actually is.
No.
Because it's obviously still playing on her. Oh my God, this guy.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
I know, what a guy.
He sounds
what a man.
Awful.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like there's so many red flags here.
So many. It sounds like she's being kind of manipulated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And by the sounds of it, and this has happened to me in the past, this has happened to so many people I know, so many women I know, it's a guy who wants to have his cake and eat it.
And that's not okay.
And it's not that he's...
No.
He hasn't even, you know, had his cake and eaten it. He's had his cake.
He's
eaten it.
Both cakes.
Then he's gone back to his cake for more.
He's Bruce from Matilda.
He is Bruce Bogtrotter on the stage with that giant chocolate cake. He is literally... That is who he is.
It is. It's true, though.
That's so true.
And I'm wondering as well, which I'm assuming is the case, is he cheating on his current girlfriend now with you? Because in which case, he's literally playing the two of you off each other.
Yeah.
And is she, obviously she's not aware because she wouldn't be in a relationship with him, I imagine.
Well, you'd hope.
Well, who knows?
Yeah. So basically what's happening here is this fella, this guy, what will we call him?
This
we'll
dope.
Call him Dave, right? Dave has cheated on this girl. And then he's left her for the girl that he was cheating with and gone off and started a new thing. And then he went back to the girl he cheated on to mess with her head a bit more.
Yeah, just to like
that is bad.
Torture her a little bit more.
That is bad news bears. I like straight away. I'm like, this is very, again, this is very cut and dried from my perspective. I just wouldn't have anything to do with him. I would very, very like, I would literally just take out my phone. I'd block him on WhatsApp. I'd
block him on Instagram.
Block his socials.
Block everything.
I would block him, his emails. I'd block his phone number. And I would never speak to him again.
This
but again,
is the thing.
It's not that easy.
Yeah. If someone's messing with your head and taking up airtime in your brain.
Yeah.
And if it's not good news.
Yeah.
Why does he deserve to even have that airtime?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And he doesn't deserve to be there. Like,
no.
And this rule applies in life as well. I think you'd probably agree. Like, I have no time in my life to put up with people who are bringing me any sort of negativity.
Life is way too short.
Life is way too short.
You deserve so much better.
And you've so many, like, I'm sure she has so many friends. I'm sure she has family. I'm sure she has a career that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much more you could be filling your life with than this person. And I think that's very easy for us to say.
Yeah.
And I think she'll probably be listening going, yeah, cool, but I love him.
Yeah. But I have two things.
Okay, go on.
So one standard that I kind of hold myself to across the board is how I would feel, like say if I was her, I wonder who she's communicating like with, who knows that this is all happening. Like does her mum or her dad know, or a close friend or someone she can turn to? Do they know what's happening? Because something that I always hold myself to, or the standard that I always hold myself to, is would I be, not proud, but would I be okay with telling someone that this is how this was playing out?
Yes.
And if I know that they're going to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, it's not okay.
Yeah. That's such a good standard to hold yourself to. And I know in my younger years, there were things that I kept from family and friends because I knew they'd be like, get away immediately, if not sooner. So that is that's such good advice.
Yeah. And I think, secondly, she's obviously a bit of a romantic because she's talking about love and like things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's all well and good. But if she is a romantic, I don't know if I'm a romantic. I don't really feel like I am, like obviously to an extent, but I wouldn't be like a hopeless romantic whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think she's probably looking at this like in the greater picture, and she probably sees them ultimately ending up together.
Mm-hmm.
But like, is that, like she obviously deserves better. She obviously deserves someone who is going to treat her really well, who isn't going to, A, cheat on her.
Yeah.
Like that's just the first nail in the coffin. Then there's everything else, like the kind of manipulation afterwards, the cheating on the current girlfriend, meeting up for her, giving her false hope as well.
Yeah.
Like, I just think like every second, and maybe this will like tug at her romantic heartstrings, like every second she spends thinking about this guy who's definitely not the right one, she's like losing out on time that she could be spending with someone who's perfect for her, or even spent looking for someone, or even not even looking, or even,
but by herself.
Yeah, she could like, be by herself, and then the right person could walk into her life, and she might not be aware because she's still hung up on this guy. Yeah. Whereas if she just kind of did her best to get over it, and like that's a whole other topic, like getting over things. Yeah. She did her best to do that, like. Like God knows what could come to her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And the last thing that she said about the isn't love just a series of dramatic moments or whatever.
Not like, always.
I mean, like
yes and no.
Yes and no. Like yes, as in when you realize you're in love with someone, and then when you get engaged, like they're dramatic moments, of course, and those are all positive. But like,
this is the one dramatic moment, though. This is him. This is like being a shithead.
This is not a dramatic moment. This is someone betraying your trust. It's this is like, someone. Like going against what love is supposed to be. And I just think if like you, I'm sure this girl, I'm sure she loves him deeply. Yeah. I'm sure she does. And just because someone is a dickhead and does dick things doesn't mean you stop loving them.
It would be great
them.
If that was the case. If you could just stop. Yeah. That would be amazing.
It would be super if you could just stop loving people who are dickheads. However, and I completely understand that. You know, I have been there. I know what it's like to love someone who doesn't love you as much as you love them. But bottom line is he doesn't love you as much as you love him, because if he did, and he can say it all he wants, and he can go on as many walks with you as he likes, but if he is seeing someone else and cheated on you in the past, he does not love you as much as you love him. And that is that. Like there's no getting around that. There's no lying to yourself about that. He doesn't love you as much as you love him. And if there's one thing I know, is that in a relationship, in an ideal world, obviously easier said than done, but in an ideal world, the love should be 50-50. Like you should love your partner as much as they love you, and vice versa. There shouldn't be an imbalance in the relationship in that sense. You know, it's how, and obviously, you know, relationships go through peaks and troughs. So there's always going to be times where you're absolutely cracked about your partner and they've got other things going on, and vice versa. There, you know, things happen. But for someone to cheat on you and then start seeing you again while he's still seeing the person he cheated on you with, like, he doesn't value you.
No.
And the only way that you can progress from this is to value yourself. And he's not treating you with respect. He's not showing you love. He's not being honest. He's seeing someone, like, there's just so many things that he's not doing that you deserve.
Yeah, you deserve everything that you put into the relationship and more.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't do it to him, then why is it okay that he gets to do it to you?
100%.
It's not okay.
No.
And it's kind of setting a standard, and it's setting a baseline for what's to come if you do ultimately end up together, which I really hope you don't, because you deserve so much better.
Mm. And the thing is as well, that last statement, I keep going back to it, but the step where she says, isn't love just a series of dramatic moments? In my experience, true love is a very, very secure and solid,
shouldn't be difficult,
base for the rest of your life. Like the person that you're in love with and that loves you should just be a constant and be someone that you don't have to question, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to think, you know, are they doing this? Are they seeing this person? Do they really love me? Are we, what is this that we're doing? Like, if it's real love,
they should,
they're your other half. There's no questions. And I think that statement, in a weird way, romanticizes love.
Yeah.
In a way that
it's kind of toxic.
It's toxic, and it's you know, Hollywood version of love. It's not real love.
This is not a movie.
This is the real deal. This is your life. Yeah. And you only get one of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not to get too deep on it, but we only do get one life. And so, like you said, Niamh, she's spending time and headspace on this person while she could be looking for the person that's actually going to love her. So I think that's enough advice. I think we
want to know back on that. So
so please let us know. If you could let us know how you get on there. And don't be afraid. Like, we're not going to judge. If you end up getting back with him, if you end up going over and smashing the windows in his car. There's no judgment here. Please, we're not encouraging that. We're not encouraging that behavior, but we're not here to judge. So
I would say walk away with your head held high, yeah, and keep your dignity, and just, you know, for yourself, you'll feel better, mm-hmm, if you're just
and
poised about it.
Totally. And just walk away.
Yeah.
You'll just walk feel away. I swear, I promise you, like, this is a guarantee. I guarantee if you do that and you go off and start living your life and forget about him, in a year's time, you look back
you'll
and
you'll
be
yourself.
Like, yeah,
that's you will what you thank yourself. Do. You want to put yourself in a position where you thank yourself for doing something.
Yeah.
Because you're going to just be so happy.
100%. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was good. Okay, will we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have another one here. Now, this is quite a long one. So there's a lot to... It's a long read. Mm-hmm. It's this one here. I'm just going to show you.
Oh, yeah,
the
perfect.
One that we're... Yeah, that's the one we're on. Okay. So this came in. It's very long, but bear with me. I'm going to read through. Okay. Hi. Just a question / problem / situation that I thought I would share because I know you go through DMs sometimes on the podcast. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm with the guy who I firmly believe is the love of my life. I feel like we're meant to be. We suit each other in so many ways. We have everything planned out in terms of our future. We've been going out for 3 years and are going to move in together soon. Excuse me. We're in our mid-20s. The only thing is, we used to have a great sex life. He would be turned on by me. I would be turned on by him. We would have sex often and it was always great. However, in the last few months, this has changed. Even when our sex was regular, a lot of the time I initiated it. I think he liked when I did that. Plus, maybe I have a higher sex drive. I'm not sure. But in the last few months, even when I've tried to initiate, he says no more often than yes. I feel rejected. I've stopped trying to be the initiator because it now makes me feel bad, all the rejection. When we have actually had sex over the last few months, a lot of the time he seems to struggle to switch on, if you get me. I presume that means to get a boner. Then also doesn't finish quite frequently. I feel like it's starting to panic me now. I don't know what's gone wrong. I still wanted to have sex with him just as much as always, but with all this going on now, I feel like I'm starting to avoid it too. So I guess my question is, does a relationship depend on sex? What can it mean when this type of thing happens? Is it a bad sign, or can relationships just go through peaks and troughs? I feel like I'm worrying a lot about it these days because I'm terrified it means that our relationship is going downhill. But I really, really don't want that to happen, especially when things are getting more serious between us in other ways. Any help or advice, welcome. And if you do discuss this on the podcast, please keep me anonymous. Thank you. And of course, we'll keep you anonymous. There's literally about 7 questions there. So yeah, I think we'll take the first one. So she says her question starts here. So I guess my question is, does a relationship depend on sex? So we'll answer that one first, I think. Do you reckon?
It definitely doesn't depend on it, but it's definitely a huge part of it.
And it's a healthy part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, intimacy with your partner, physical intimacy with your partner, mm-hmm, is important. Otherwise, you know, and there's a lot of people I know that have sex very infrequently, but I kind of feel like if you're not having sex at some point, then you're...
Yeah, what is it?
What is it? Like,
what is it? Because that's an ignorant thing to say, but like what?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
You know, that's what your friends are for.
Yeah, true. Do you know what I mean? And I know, look, to be completely clear or whatever, there are people out there who would consider themselves to be non-sexual, or I think asexual even, like, yeah. I know there's people out there that are like, sex doesn't come into them, yeah, at all, but I don't feel like that's what we're dealing with here. So we could discuss this from the perspective of people who do consider sex important, because I think it's clear that she does.
One thing I'll say is, if this was me, like if I was her,
yeah,
I would feel the exact same way that she does. So I don't think she should feel like she's being paranoid or anything. Not that I'm saying that she does, but I would be up the walls over,
yeah,
that as well.
That so would I, yeah,
be, have me really paranoid.
And that rejection.
Yeah, that would be so tough, especially when it's something so personal. And if it's like sex and you're feeling rejected,
yeah,
that would be awful.
Yeah, and that can have repercussions as well, because if you're feeling sexually rejected, it can make you question things about, you know, first of all, a relationship. Second of all, about you. Does he not find you attractive? Like, that's what would cross my mind. I'd be like, okay, my partner can't get a hard on. Does that mean I'm
no longer
attractive? Yeah. And it's a natural thing to do, to question that. Mm-hmm. However, I do think there are so many other reasons why that could be happening to your partner.
So I feel like there's definitely something going on with him, not necessarily to do with the relationship, because they do seem really happy. If they're moving in together, if they're planning their life together, that's so exciting. Like, that's amazing for them. But there's obviously something going on that it could be something so far away from the relationship, but it's just having an effect on him and it's giving him, I don't know, like a block.
Anxiety. And like, that's a thing, you know, if she feels like she was always the initiator, maybe it is a case that his sex drive, he's just not that motivated about sex. And then it could be a case of, you know, like, if I know, obviously I'm not male and I don't have a dick, so I don't know for sure, but I know from, you know, hearing these stories and speaking to people and talking to men, that if they are having problems with, you know, getting erections or maintaining erections or finishing, you know, during sex, if they're having a problem with that, if they have the problem once,
then it's on
their mind the next time,
and paranoid.
It's a knock-on effect. So
there
could be that. If you suspect that might be the case, and, you know, combining that with the fact that he doesn't seem that, he has never seemed that motivated for sex.
I don't feel like that's the problem that I'm getting from it. I don't feel like it's that issue. I feel like it's definitely, no, I obviously have no idea. Here's me, it's more. How do you know what that means? I don't know, I feel like she's not guessing that from her message. I feel like she wants to communicate with him. She wants to ask him about it. But it'd be very difficult to, I guess, asking that question is so hard as well, because he could go on the defense, which I like.
Imagine that. Imagine having to bring that topic up.
It'd be so hard.
Hey,
do you not fancy me?
But why can't you get a boner? Like, what's that about? That's such a
You need to be so sensitive asking a question like that.
It's a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
So she says as well, what can it mean when this type of thing happens? And she does mention, like we spoke about earlier on, she does mention like peaks and troughs in a relationship.
It's funny that came up twice.
And the thing is, there are peaks and troughs in a relationship. Have you experienced that? Like, I know I have. There's times where you're in a relationship where all you do is bone. Like, you're having sex all the live long day, and then there'll be a time where you don't do it for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And you think, oh God, this is the end. We're never going to have sex again. And then you do and it's fine. Now, that's obviously in a long-term relationship, but this is a long-term relationship she's having.
I think it's so normal to go through peaks and troughs.
Like, I think so too.
Totally normal. Mm-hmm. I think it's just so natural. Like, obviously you're going through, like, in, say, like, a relationship, you're up and down, your lives are changing, things are going good for some person, not so good for the other. Like, you see each other more, typical things.
So many variables.
Of course you're
going
to be, like, closer to someone at some point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to be distant, or, you know, you argue as well.
Yeah.
That's so normal. But I feel like this is, I'm wondering,
this doesn't sound like a peak in a trough sort of situation.
Yeah, I feel like this is something more, like, maybe, so they're together, 3 years?
Yeah.
And they're obviously planning their life together, they're moving in together. Yeah. Maybe it's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad shout. Yeah,
maybe he's a little bit like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're in their mid-20s. Mm. I don't know if that's like 24 or 27.
Yeah.
Big difference there as well.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah,
that could be, that's actually something I hadn't thought of, that maybe
he's
overwhelmed with all the changes, and he could be feeling a bit like,
oh God.
Yeah, what are we doing here? And he's that's affecting him then in the bedroom, because, you know, everything's linked. Your body is completely linked.
And if it's totally linked to the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
But then I don't know if she's getting that either.
Yeah.
It's me like trying to read every single sentence.
Yeah. And she says as well, she feels like she's worrying about it a lot because she's terrified it means their relationship is going downhill. And I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I think you have to be optimistic, because a lot of the time with girls, like, I know I've been this person so many times, like, you get so paranoid about something. I make fake scenarios up in my head all the live long day.
Yeah.
About like the person who's driving behind me, about like my friend, an ex or something. Yeah. I make up all these scenarios.
Yeah.
And it's never the case.
The story you tell yourself is never the actual
story.
Oh,
I'm the best storyteller ever in the world to myself. I'm like, this has happened and now that person is dead.
Have you ever watched, you know, Brené Brown? She's this like psychotherapist, or I don't know, she's some kind of very wise lady from the States, and she did like a TED talk and she was on Oprah and, you know, this kind of thing. She did a Netflix special, and on that she talked about the story that you tell yourself. So she was
to watch that.
Oh, it's really good. Anyway, I've spoken about it before on another episode, I can't remember which episode now, but anyway, the story is she's away on holidays with her husband and her kids, and the kids go off for a day, and she's thinking, oh, I'm, you know, going to get a bit saucy with the husband because the kids aren't here. And but whatever happens, he's off doing something, she's off doing something, and in her head she's like, oh my God, why doesn't he want to have sex with me? Why doesn't he, like, is he not, why doesn't he want to come over here and like chat to me? And blah, and she gets, she builds this complete narrative in her head, and then gets really annoyed and gets in a rage at her husband. And then the husband comes over and he's like, oh, I just went for a swim there, and how are you getting on? And she's like, oh, so you don't hate me and want to break up with me. Yeah, do you know?
So we're good.
So we're okay. And he's like, of course we are. You know? Yeah. And it just goes to show, and this is not exclusively females, this is every gender, and people of no gender, everyone makes up narratives in their head about, you know, what they're going through, and in relationships in particular, also in friendships. I mean, it's happened so many times to me in friendships where, like, you'll have something, you'll have a narrative going on in your head about,
and in your family,
and you're putting thoughts into someone else's head. Yeah. You're going, oh, I bet she thinks that this and this and this.
Totally.
And it's so dodgy.
Yeah, no, it's like dangerous, because you do get really caught up in it then.
Yeah.
What do you think she should do? I feel like she needs to take action.
Yeah,
she could be here all year worrying about this.
She could, and it's by the sounds of it, she is.
Yeah. I think she should, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
If I was her, I would, oh no, that's actually really bad advice. I was going to be like, you should distance yourself and make him think that you're annoyed at you. It's like, no, Niamh, no. Let's be
that's
an
probably
adult.
Not. That's probably not great advice.
No,
do you know, I like, it realistically, and again, I say it all the time, I'm like a broken record, but I do think communication is where it's at when it comes to any relationship issue. And like, there's a couple of things to worth communicating about here. Like, there's the issue of the actual physical act of sex and the fact that he can't finish and he can't switch on, in inverted commas. There's that issue. And then there's the other issue of, is the relationship going downhill? So I think maybe, I don't know what you think, but maybe if she had the conversation about the broader relationship first and was like,
are you
okay? Is everything, are you okay with moving in? Are we moving too fast? Are we moving?
Do you want to cool it back a little bit?
And that might not even be the case, but just to check in with him.
Yeah.
Just to be like,
that's definitely the best first step.
How are things? Like, how are you? And check in and make sure that, excuse me, that he's okay, that he feels comfortable in the relationship, all those kind of things. And if that's ascertained, like if she feels that's, like she's, you know, got that, then maybe
be like, how do you think, why don't you ask him, like set him up to kind of, instead of asking him yes or no questions, like set him up to talk and to like share his truths. Like, how do you think it's going, or how do you think, or what do you want to do, or something, I don't know.
And then the kind of the chat about the sex thing, so specifically the sex thing, so if you're communicate about general, you know, general well-being, make sure he feels okay, make sure he feels, you know, happy in his job, all those kind of things, because those things can play into the sex life completely. Yeah,
and if you're there for him, like, it's going to bring you closer. And obviously, I know they're together 3 years, but there's always more room to get closer to someone.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, completely. Mm-hmm. And then on the purely sexual side of things, what I would suggest is, like, the next time you're initiating sex, or actually, it doesn't even have to be when you're initiating sex. You can have this conversation at any time where you feel particularly close to your partner. So I would say, again, the next time you're, you know, you're at home, you're watching a film, or, you know, you're just, excuse me, you're taking a couple of minutes to just relax together. Have the conversation, be brave, put on, you know.
Yeah, you could also not put pressure on it and be like, we totally don't have to do it now. But like, just in general, how do you think, blah, 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 blah.
It's good. And just, I mean, it's from her perspective, she could say, look, I feel like, I you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like I've been initiating sex a lot lately. And
yeah, I like it when you do it. Or
not even like, I like it when you do it, because if she's going to be the initiator, like, maybe that's fine. Maybe he's just laid back, and that's, and how maybe, you know, that's their dynamic, you know. And sometimes there's somebody in the relationship who initiates 90% of the time and the other person does it 10, and that works. So that, you know, but I think what she's saying is she initiates it a lot. It obviously is an issue for her that she initiates because she doesn't feel like he wants it.
Yeah.
And then when they do start to do it, he's not able to finish or get a hard on or whatever.
Yeah.
So what I think maybe she needs to have a chat with him about is just be like, look, you know, I don't want to put pressure on this, but I've been coming to you a lot for sex and I'm just starting to feel a bit like, you know, do you still fancy me? Or is there something that I'm not doing that you'd like me to do?
She could be like, I would love to just be more open. I'd love to just talk about this because it's kind of on my mind. Yeah. And I mean, if this is someone who you're planning to spend.
Come at it with love.
Yeah, that's it as well. Come at it from like a caring place.
Yeah. And not a pressurized place, as in, don't be like, so how come you can't keep your boner? Like, that's really, that's really awkward for me. Like, don't, you can't, just you literally can't say just that. Say, you know, is it a case that, is there anything that you want us to do that we're not doing? Can we spice it up? And when you ask all those questions, you know, things, conversations can happen and he might come to her with more information then. You know, he might say, well, I've just been really down the last while, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's a tricky one though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really sensitive, especially when they're obviously both so invested in it. And, you know, but maybe that's kind of a place of power as well, if they do feel like they are going to spend the rest of their lives together.
Yeah.
This is just a little hiccup and like a peak and trough. Like, it's just a trough where they need to work through it and just be really open where possible.
They could be this, like, that this issue or this problem or whatever could be a really good learning experience for them and a really good growing experience for them, because
bring them closer.
Yeah, like, because if you have these sort, like, as in 3 years in is a fantastic time to be having this discussion, not 15 years in when all of a sudden you haven't had sex for 4 years and you're like, am I in a loveless marriage? Do you know what I mean? At this stage now, where this kind of issue has only been happening for a relatively short amount of time, it's probably a good time to like have that discussion.
Definitely. I think you're getting it at the right time and you're being proactive about it as well, which is so important.
How are you about like asking or broaching awkward questions in relationships?
Oh, I am the most awkward person you could actually physically imagine. I would rather like do it with the lights off and be like, so, like just this voice in the dark.
From a different room.
Like, yeah, like just send a text actually. I'm just in the kitchen, just wondering.
Just wondering, where is this relationship going?
Yeah, oh, like I'm so awkward. I find it so hard. And I think I like create narratives in my head. Yeah. And then I'm just assuming that that's what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, it's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. I really feel for this person because I totally, obviously haven't been in that specific situation, but I've definitely been in situations where I've felt like I've wanted to say something and I get like, I'm the worst. Like I'll get upset so easily as well. If I work myself up over something and like, it's not the worst thing in the world to be upset because then it kind of shows that you're not coming from an angry place. You're just kind of coming from a place
you want
where
to
you're
make it
caught
better.
Up about something, and you're trying to make something right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jesus, if you could be a fly on the wall with me in an awkward conversation.
I wouldn't be great at it either. Although I have to say, as I get older, I've started to see the value of coming at a situation head on.
Yeah, I really get that from you. And like listening to the podcast and listening to the advice that you give, I'm like, I feel like you're so proactive about things, which is amazing.
It's difficult. Like, I'm not going to say it's not difficult. The conversations are still awkward and they're you know, you just like tense
up.
You're
never going to feel bad about communicating with someone. Like, you can never, if like whatever the result, if you get the answer that you want or the answer that you don't want,
that's an answer.
Then maybe you stay together, maybe you break up. At least you know, like knowledge is power, and then you go from there and you continue your life. And you know, sometimes it's not always what you want to hear, but you just have to get on with it. And like, you do, and we're so much stronger than we think.
Oh my God, completely agree. And I think as well, all these kinds of conversations about relationships are so, so difficult, so awkward, but so necessary.
Yeah.
Because Your romantic relationship is one of the most significant parts of your life.
Yeah.
It's up there with like close family, your career. Like it's if not more important than those things at times. And so I just like, this is again, this, I think this has come with age. I don't see the point of not talking about it.
Yeah.
Like if you're spending all this time doing, you know, being in this relationship and it's not working for you.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah,
and
totally.
One way or the other, you're going to get an answer.
Yeah, and I think it's so, do you know what? Like, just going back to that girl again, it seems like they have like everything planned out. And like, I hope and I'm sure that it was something that they came to together. Mm-hmm. Because I think we actually talked about this on that press trip, like planning your life and things like that. It's so easy to get caught up on something that is so important to you. Mm. And it has to be something that you come to together.
Yeah.
Because now, obviously, age, like they say, mid-20s, age, I think it's a tricky one because it doesn't really matter if it's something that matters to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I have friends who are younger than me that are getting married, have kids, have houses. Like,
it doesn't matter.
But then I like feel like I won't be there for years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And as long as that, like, I mean, socially...
Yeah,
like
we're bred to be like, okay, well, by this age you have to do this, and by that age you have to do that,
which is total bollocks.
It's so unfair.
I was going to say nonsense there, but that doesn't sound like me at all. Yeah. But it's true, like that's like structure that you have on your life.
Yeah,
it's not a thing. Don't put those time pressures on yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, as women, if you want to biologically have children,
if you want 10 kids,
you're gonna
need to get on that pretty
if
early.
If you want 10 children, just Start now.
Right now.
Ring your partner. He's probably in work.
Time to come home.
Yeah. No, but I do think, you know, that whole thing of by this age, you should be blah.
Yeah.
Take away the should. Take away the by this age. There is that. Just ignore that altogether.
Yeah. You're as young as you feel.
And once you're happy, that's all that matters. And I think the happiness. And in all of the questions that we've answered, the person being happy is my main concern here.
Yeah.
Like, I want... the people who message in and say, this is what's happening in my relationship, is this a problem? If it's a problem for you and it's not making you happy, it's a problem. And you are completely within your rights to question it.
Yeah.
You're completely within your rights to speak to your partner about it. You're completely within your rights to look for a solution.
Yeah.
And if a solution isn't forthcoming, or if the person that you're communicating with isn't willing to do the work.
Yeah, if you're getting a bad feeling.
Totally. It's your happiness that's at risk, and that's something that you need to really kind of look at, I think.
Yeah, and I think as well, something that I always do, and anytime I don't do it, I want to punch myself in the face, because I'm like, for God's sake, Niamh, you knew this would happen, is you have to go with your gut on something.
Yeah.
If you're, and you can read people so much better than you think. So if you're talking to someone and you're kind of, if you're skeptical of whether or not they're being truthful or not, or whether or not they're being, you know, honest with themselves, which is really hard. Like, if you can see that someone's kind of telling you something that they think you want to hear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Your gut knows.
And if you know, when you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
And when you don't know, you don't know.
we're like veering violently towards the like Love Island. It is what it
is. Just pull them for a chat.
Territory here. Oh, are you going to watch the winter Love Island?
Absolutely.
Are you buzzing for it?
I mean,
I'm personally buzzing for Fionnuala J's.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, I'm excited for Love Island, but then I also just want to watch Fionnuala. I met her at an event recently for the first time. Full on fangirled over her.
Yeah.
But I was like, so like Love Island. She was like, oh my God. I think she's probably like feeling the pressure maybe because like people have such high expectations.
Oh my God, totally.
Like, no doubt you can deliver. Like, you can do this. Like, I'm going to be hyping you every step of the way.
It's so true though. And I feel like I never want to ask her about it because I'm like,
oh, I was belatedly like, so let's chat.
So tell me.
Hey, stranger.
Hi, we've literally never met, but can we talk about
it? Yeah, literally. Yeah. I think Love Island, though, like, it's so funny seeing, it's just mad, isn't
it's
it? Like,
mad.
It puts such a weird kind of spin on, like, how we relate to it ourselves.
Do you know what I did the other day? I did a cleanse of my Instagram of who I'm following.
Okay.
So who comes up in my feed, and I was going through and all the I followed literally every single Love Islander. I followed them all. And I went through and I was like, no, I don't care about Molly Mae anymore, and I don't care about Tommy anymore.
Over there,
and I don't care about Curtis anymore, although I did fancy him.
What?
I know.
Aisling.
I know. Listen. Physical only. The minute he opened his mouth.
Okay.
And I know, continue. The dad bod, I know. Listen, I saw him put that weird hat on and dance across the garden.
I saw those hips.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I actually have issues. I deserve to be sectioned. But anyway, all my friends had an issue with it. But anyway, I unfollowed him. I unfollowed them all. The only one I left was Maura because
Can't unfollow Maura.
You can't unfollow Maura.
Queen of Ireland.
Just couldn't unfollow Maura.
Yeah.
But I saw it as a cleanse because now I know when winter comes around.
You're ready for that. You made room for the new. Yeah.
Exactly.
Shame for them that they kind of only get that 6 month period and then there's going to be newbies in. I'd say they are literally.
I'd say they're raging.
Yeah. I do love though because some of my younger cousins watched it and they're so young, but I think it has such a good. I think it's great to see, like, say, for example, like Amber, like sticking up for herself, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's very problematic in a lot of ways, too.
Very problematic. But I mean, it's kind of seeing everyone hype them then and be like, that's how you should be treated. Yeah. And it's bringing. Anyway.
Yeah. And in some ways, I mean, I don't know how we managed to get onto a chat
literally
about Love Island.
End of November. We're
not
back
very
to July.
Timely, but I think, like, there were times where I remember thinking the lads weren't as. Lads, as I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Like there was times, there was kind of, you know, tender moments and there was kind of moments where the lads stuck up for each other and were quite, you know, not what you'd expect in Love Island for the lads
but
to be.
I think it's because they're just so aware of the cameras. They're so aware of like people on the outside scrutinizing everything
I'm so
they
naive.
Do or say. Yeah, like, come on. They know they're walking out of there with a million followers.
No,
like,
that's
I need
true.
To like be on my best behavior.
That is true. Yeah. Actually, speaking of a million followers and reality TV, my friend Pamela is on The Apprentice at the moment.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she is doing so well. And I just wanted to say I'm really proud of her. She's flying it. The time that she was project manager, the PM of the task, her team won. She's won so many weeks, I can't even count. And
what a boss.
Oh my God, total boss. And you can see her Instagram followers creeping up every time
That's
a new
brilliant.
Episode happens, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, just think she's doing amazing. And I want to say good luck to her in all the rest of the episodes.
Yeah.
Go Pam. So Niamh, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun. Will you come in again?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see me here next week now at the door. Are we going again?
Now that you know where I
you
record.
You said.
is this not happening? So Niamh, tell everybody where they can follow you if they don't already. I'm sure they do.
So if you don't already follow me, I'm at Niamh_Sullivan on Instagram and Niamh-Sullivan.com.
Is
my website. Is my blog. Yeah, okay. And I blog all things like travel, food, sustainability. Mm-hmm. I do food videos on Instagram. I'm going to
love your food videos.
Do you like them? I need to get back into them now. I haven't done one in like a week or two.
And don't forget the eyebrows, people. Get on there. Just listen, go and find Niamh just so you can see her eyebrows. If you want to be jealous of a pair of eyebrows, she's your girl. Thank you so much. And I'll see you again soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Cassie, thank you. Scout, shout out to Scout in the corner.
Love you, Scout.
Love you, Scout. Love you forever. Aww. She's the best dog. Obviously, Maisie, joint first best dog in the world. And like I said at the top, I'm so grateful for any comments or feedback or reviews or anything like that. And actually, even like, you know, feedback is fantastic. Negative reviews for negative reviews' sake, maybe not so good, but feedback I'm into. And I try to do better. So yeah, thanks very much everybody for listening and I hope you enjoyed the episode. And until next week, stay safe, have fun. Bye.